pray the Lord to help us be able to communicate something to you tonight. Psalm 115. I love how this psalm begins. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy true sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols, that is, these heathens now that are running around saying, where's your God at? Where's your God at now? Where's your God at in this situation? Where's your God at in this scene and in this season of life? Here's what he said. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Boy, I'm glad it didn't leave off there. We'd be left out because we're not Israel and we're not the house of Aaron. But notice what he said. Ye that fear the Lord. Is there anybody here tonight that fears the Lord? Anybody here tonight that knows the Lord? Anybody here tonight walking with the Lord? Ye that fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord, oh, I cannot wait till Sunday night to get to this. The Lord hath been mindful of us. You've been on God's mind today. Saying nobody been thinking about me. I don't know if that's true or not, but I know God has been mindful of his own. Hallelujah. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. The Lord shall increase you more and more, you and your children. You're blessed of the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Can I give you a little thought just reading through? Because I won't be able to get to it tonight, Brother Riley. But he just said, the Lord hath been mindful. That is past tense. You have been blessed. And then he said, the Lord will bless us. The Lord will bless the house of Israel, will bless the house of Aaron, will bless them that fear the Lord, and shall increase you more and more. That is, he's blessed us in the past. He's going to bless you in days to come. Amen. But then he said in verse 15, ye are blessed. He not only has blessed you and is going to bless you, he is blessing you right now. Amen. Somebody ought to take a lap around the building. Amen. Past, future, and present, we are blessed by God. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth hath he given to the children of men. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, you can be seated. Our Heavenly Father, thank you tonight, Lord, for your mercy and grace. Thank you for the songs that we've sung, the good fellowship we've had already tonight, just in small measure with the people of God. It's helped us, Lord, even, Lord, just to be able to walk out and come in this place and see God's people still coming in the house of the Lord. It's been a blessing in our heart this evening. And I pray, Lord, as we've had time in prayer with you already tonight, that's been sweet, and we're thankful, Lord, for a few minutes with you here with the people of God and this place of God, this house of God. Now, Lord, as we gather around for a few minutes, fellowship around this text and around this psalm and, Lord, the truths that are in it tonight, I pray, Lord, our fellowship would be sweet and truth would prevail, and that the Spirit of God would stir every heart, And that, Lord, we'd be cheered on and encouraged tonight in our journey of faith and, Lord, our walk with God. May, Lord, we be able to leave here, Lord, with the joy of the Lord and the peace of God abounding, Lord, in every way. Lord, we'll thank you for how you help us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. This, the third psalm of the Hebrew Hallel, which is that section of psalms we're coming through right now. This Psalm 115, it was sung at the conclusion of the Passover meal along with the preceding psalms through Psalm 118. And so they would sing two psalms to begin the Passover meal. They would sing they would sing another psalm, and then here we come to this one, and there's cups involved and drinks involved and eating involved. And I'll not get into all of that probably till we get to the end of these Hebrew Hallel psalms, but this is the third one that is sung that begins the conclusion of all the festivities around the Passover. Being sung at Passover reminds us and the Jews of their liberation from Egypt. That's what the Passover celebration is all about. It's about recalling that time when God brought them out of Egypt and out of bondage and set them free and set them on a journey to Canaan's land. And when they were set free from Egypt, you got to think about Egypt and what it was. Egypt was a land of idolatry. Egypt was a land of false gods. Egypt was a land of paganism and heathenism and a nation that was known to have many man-made images of deities. We understand that at one of those would have been a golden calf. We know how Israel tried to incorporate that shortly after their exodus out of Egypt and crossing the Red Sea at Mount Sinai, when they came to Aaron and said, "Make us a god fashioned and made like unto the gods that were served in Egypt's land." All through the wilderness, you had that mixed multitude that kept talking about the gods and the images and the so-called deities that they had seen worshipped in Egypt's land. However many gods, we don't know how many they had. We know they had diverse gods and many gods, however many that they may have had. I'm interested tonight in pointing this out. All of them were not. They were not really truly gods. They were the imagination of no doubt demonic imaginations of what man had put in his heart from the very gates of hell. It's amazing in this psalm when this psalmist writes about their gods and their idols, and he says they're just simply the work of men's hands. He said they speak not, they see not, they hear not, they smell not, they handle not, and they walk not. And there's a word there that keeps appearing, Brother Tim. It's the word not, and they can't do any of these things because there is no reality to those deities. They, at best, are imaginations of men and demons that are behind those imaginations that they are worshiping. In contrast, in this psalm, we find in verse number 3, I love this, "But our God is." Their gods are not, but our God is. And this simply means that He is living. He is a reality. He is alive. Amen. Our God, we may not have an image of our God. We may not have fashioned out of stump or stone or precious metals what our God's image would be. But this much we know, our God is alive. And our God is a reality tonight. And just simply put, as the psalmist said in verse number 3, our God is. And all these other gods are not, but our God is. Our God is alive. Our God is in heaven. Our God is moving. Our God is working. Our God is tonight in every sense of what that statement would be. He is not a figment of our imagination. He's not something that we have dreamed up. We understand our God is. And in this psalm, I'll deal with it more on Sunday night. But this psalm does what the entirety of the Word of God does. It doesn't give an explanation of God. It doesn't try to argue with us whether or not that there is a God. It just simply begins, the whole book begins, it in the beginning, God. And our God tonight, He is. And it may be in the imagination of men that they would serve and they would bow and they would worship and they would give their lives unto the cause of some deity that they have been introduced to that is the work of some man's hands. But while their gods are not, our God is tonight. He is a living God. And you've got to get a hold of that this evening. Or you'll miss the whole point of this psalm. Our God is living. Our God is not dead. He's not a God that was and is no more. Our God was, our God is, our God evermore will be. He's a living God. In this psalm, He's the creator. In this psalm, He's the one the psalmist declared made heaven and earth. He's the God that is tonight, is creator. He's the God that is Savior. He's the God that is our Heavenly Father. He is the God that is personal in our lives and active and moving among the affairs of men. We're not looking to Allah tonight. We're not looking to Buddha tonight. We're not looking to the demonic angel Joseph Smith met in the demonic dreams that he had. We're not tonight serving some demonic deity tonight that has been derived or fashioned into some sort of an image. But our God is our God. Do you understand that tonight? That your God is. I'm telling you, He is alive and He is a living God. And this soul is driving that point home that our God is. He is living. He is present. He is with you. He is for you. And in this dispensation of time, our God is in you. And what a blessing tonight to know that our God is living. Hang on to that thought for a moment. In this psalm, we are called upon then to give lively praise to this living God. Here's how this psalm trickles down to the end. And we'll see on Sunday night, this psalm just builds on the character of God and magnifies and expounds. It doesn't exhaust, Brother Mike. It doesn't exhaust the character of our God, but it does expound the character of our God. And it's going to magnify our God is, and He's living. And because He is and He is living, here is what we know about some of what we know about our God. Now, if He is and He is living and He is all these things, His psalm says, and He is, and by the way, He is. Then this psalm says that you owe it to this living God to give Him lively praise. Here's what He said in verse number 17. The dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. And we could go to Psalm 6 and in verse number 5, and we'll find the same idea here about the grave and silence. And I see really a twofold death that is spoken of in this verse. He's making a statement that if you're dead, you will not praise God. I see here the spiritually dead, and then ultimately the physically dead, and they no longer in this life to praise God. Spiritually dead, I see in the first part of verse number 17, the dead praise not the Lord. That is, we who are what? Dead in trespasses and in sins. That they do not praise God. They don't fear God. They don't know God. They don't walk with God. They're void of His grace. They're void of the new birth. They're void of the power of God. And they live for themselves, their flesh, and their own sin. And so those that are spiritually dead do not praise God. And then ultimately, the day is coming, we're all going to draw our final and last breath, and we'll be physically dead, no longer living in this realm, no longer living in time,
I'm no longer living in this dimension that is the only one really that we know as far as having experience. That the day will come, we'll draw our last breath, and we'll enter into eternity, never to praise God as we have the ability to tonight. Amen. That's why the Bible said, let everything that hath breath, everything that is living, he said, let it praise the Lord. And so we ought to praise him while we can. Somebody said, well, I'm going to wait until I get to heaven to praise the Lord. I've been saved. I've been brought into the spiritual life. But I'm not going to praise him with my physical life. I'm going to wait till I get to heaven and then I'll praise the Lord. While you're missing out on a lot of things by my friend not praising the Lord tonight. I believe that the Bible said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I believe that if this verse speaks of being dead twice, then my friend, we that are the saved, we are those twice made alive and should of all breathing be full of lively praise. We're only talking about our God. We're only singing about our God. We're only pondering as we read and study this psalm about what our God is tonight, and the fact that he's living, and the fact that he's reigning, and the fact that he's giving, and the fact that he's blessing, and the fact that he's sovereign, and the fact that he's in control, and the fact that he's still sitting on the throne. Brother Riley, all of these things, if we're saved and know that, God, that, and we that my friend have been made twice alive, ought to give him lively praise. Amen. If you're living tonight, if you're twice alive, you, amen, every now and then ought to get a good case of the can't help it. Amen. And just give God lively praise. Amen. I believe that's right. Amen. In this psalm, we're called upon to give him lively praise. Amen, because he is the living God. I believe this psalm drives home. Listen what I'm going to say now. I need you to get a hold of this. This psalm drives home the true meaning and satisfaction of life. You say, what is that? Here's what ought to drive us tonight. Lord, let me live to praise your name. You do realize that's why God saved you, right? You do realize that's why God made man in the first place. Amen. You realize tonight that is where the true meaning and satisfaction of life begins to touch our heart. We'll always be void. We'll always feel like we're missing something until we can get to the place in our life and we realize and come to that an ultimate desire of, Lord, just let me live to praise your name. I don't want to live for my own glory. I don't want to live for my own benefit. I don't want to live for my own namesake. I don't want to live for my own kingdom building. Lord, let me live. Lord, don't let me die tonight. Not just because I don't want to leave my family. Not just because I don't want to quit making money. Lord, let me live that I can praise your name. Amen. I believe that's where you'll find the true meaning of life. Try to find it in your children, you'll always be void. I love my children, but let me say, and this is hard to say tonight, but I believe it in my heart, amen, if you live for your grandchildren, you're going to be void somewhere in your life. As great and as wonderful and what an experienced grandchildren are, somebody say amen right there. Amen. Thank God for grandchildren. If that's what you live for tonight, if that's where you derive your meaning of life and your satisfaction of life from, and my friend, there'll always be something on the inside that just is not hooked up and connected where it ought to be, but if we can ever realize that it is for this cause that God has given us life and God has given us spiritual life, and it's for this reason He saved us and redeemed us and restored us back our relationship with God, that we would live our lives every day saying, Lord, let me live to praise Your name. Amen. Some of y'all don't believe that. Go to Ephesians chapter number 1 for a moment. Let me prove it to you. Amen. Ephesians chapter number 1 is that discourse of Paul to the church at Ephesus, where he will magnify in great detail some of the things that God did for us in saving us. When you read Ephesians 1, if you can read Ephesians 1, And Brother Larry, something in your heart don't go pitter-patter, hallelujah, I'm glad I'm saved. And there might be something, my friend, greatly disconnected in your heart. Amen. Paul said, let me tell you about what he did for you when he saved you. Amen. He chose you in him before the foundation of the world. Amen. He said in verse 3, he blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. He said he predestinated us on the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. He said it's in Him, when He saved us, we found one in whom we have redemption through His blood, of forgiveness of sin. He said that He caused His grace to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He said that in saving us, He made known unto us the mystery of His will. He said in saving us, He said we have obtained an inheritance. He said that in saving us, He said that we heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. He'll go on and on through the remainder of the chapter. I could wax eloquent tonight, Brother Mike, about what God did for us when He saved us just out of Ephesians 1. Why did He do it? Look in verse number 6. To the praise of the glory of His grace. Look in verse number 12. That we should be to the praise of His glory. Look at the end of verse number 14. Here's why He done it. Unto the praise of His glory. Here's what Paul said. All the way through, he's telling you about what he did when he saved you. He's telling you what he did when he put you in his family. What he did when he gave you new life. What he did when you didn't deserve anything but hell and judgment and the wrath of God. When he poured out his grace, he did that so that you in turn could be of that mouthpiece of praise to His glory. I'm telling you tonight, the meaning and the purpose and the true satisfaction of your Christian life, it's not found in living up to some man-made standard. It's not found in being religious. It's not even found in faithful church attendance. It ain't found in being a Baptist. My friend, it is found in living your life under the praise of His glory. Amen. And yet there are so many that claim to be saved. There are so many that make a profession that I am saved and my sins have been forgiven and I'm going to go to heaven when I die. I'm not going to go to hell and I've been saved. And yet there is little to no praise that ever comes out of their life. Amen. So praise is a private thing. You can't show me that from the Word of God. If it's private, it'll show up in public every now and then. Amen. Amen. I thought about praise. Amen. I'm getting carried away. I'm supposed to be winding down right now. I'm going to give y'all the introduction, then I'm going to quit. Amen. But, amen, I thought about praise tonight. You know, praise, really praise and lively praise, that in that there is a matter in that is part of our worship. Amen. Praising the Lord is part of your worship. Now you may You may praise him without worshiping him, but you'll never worship him without praising him. Amen. There is a difference in worship and praise. There are some that have praised him and never enter into the realm of worship. And let me tell you something tonight. If you ever worship God, it will, amen, have praise attached to it. Amen. There'll be something that says, hallelujah, bless the Lord, glory to his name. I thank the Lord, and praise will be attached to our worship. Praise is a part of our worship. Praise is a part of our witness. Amen. So I say, I don't know how to be a witness for the Lord. Here, I'm going to tell you how to be a witness for the Lord. Just start praising God around somebody that's lost. Just start bragging on the Lord. Just start praising him for saving you. And start praising him for hearing and answering your prayer. And start praising him for what he's doing and up to in your life, because there's something about praising the Lord that is a part of our witness. Amen. I believe that's what Billy Mitchell had in mind when the woman asked him after a revival service, when are more sinners going to get saved? And Brother Mitchell didn't have to think about it, Brother Jack. He just simply responded, when more saved people get excited about the Lord's, when there'll be more sinners get saved. Amen. We've let the world bully us into a position where everybody's so afraid to talk about the Lord and speak about the Lord and witness for the Lord and say anything about the Lord. But I'm telling you tonight that if you'll learn to praise the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to work Psalm 115 in your life, you'll find that as you begin to praise the Lord, you'll start witnessing more. Praise is a part of our worship. It's a part of our witness. Amen. I didn't write this one down, but it'll work. It's a part of our work. Amen. It's just a part of the Christian work that we do for the Lord. Amen. We cheer one another on as in the work of God as we praise God. I want to say tonight, you need my praise of the Lord, and I need your praise of the Lord. There's something about when you go praising God, and it cheers my heart. And there's something about, if you'll be honest, when somebody else goes bragging on God and praising the Lord, and it does something in your heart to encourage you to keep on in the work of God. Amen. 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 I don't think there's anybody here tonight would run down and be a part of some dead outfit where nobody raised their hand, nobody got emotional, nobody got excited about God, nobody ever testified. Amen. I wouldn't. I'll be honest, I got better things to do than go down the house of God and be bored and just be religious. I got more to get to. I'm going to be up till after midnight tonight. Amen. All the things I got going on. And for this hour, an hour and 15 minutes, we're going to be here tonight. There's a lot of other things I could do tonight. And I would do tonight if I had to expect coming to a place where nobody praised the Lord. I ain't got time for it. Amen. Praise is a part of our work for God. Amen. A lot we could preach on all that. Let me give you some things, this introductory part. Amen. Out of this psalm, here's my thought. I ain't gave y'all my thought yet, have I? Amen. Debbie, write this down. I know you just been waiting there, about to jump at your skin. What's he preaching on? Here it is. I'm going to preach on out of Psalm 115. I'll start it tonight. I'll finish it Sunday night. Lively praise for the living God. Our praise ought to be a reality. But our praise ought not just be a formality. I said it ought not be a formality. It ought to be a reality, but it ought not be a formality. And there ought to be some liveliness to our praise. Amen. I'm talking about, amen, we ought to have something on the inside that's more than just repeated words and saying the same thing we said the last time and we stood up in the house of God, but had something fresh, something anointed, something that's been burning in our heart about the character of our God, and give Him lively praise because He is the living God. Amen. Let me show you some things tonight about our focus for just a moment. Lord, have mercy. I got to go. Amen. Let me give you four qualities about lively praise. I'll deal with the lively praise tonight, and then you come back. Now come back Sunday morning, but really come back Sunday night, and we'll deal with the living God that we are giving this lively praise to. What are the qualities of a child of God and having lively praise? Number one, consider with me, we'll use verse 1 and verse number 18. Look in verse number 18. It's where we'll get most of them at tonight. Notice the determination for lively praise. He just said the dead praise not the Lord. Here's what he said, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. But we will. The dead praise not the Lord. Those that are spiritually dead in trespasses and in sin. Those that are still in bondage. Those that, my friend, still live in the way of silence. My friend, we're not of that crowd. We're not of those. We've been redeemed from death. We've been redeemed from bondage. We've been saved from sin. And thank God we will bless the Lord. A psalmist said, I've made up my mind. I'm going to bless Him whether anybody else does or not. If they don't, that might be an indication that they are dead and they are in the way of silence and that they do not know God. We that know God, we are determined and we will bless Him. We'll bless Him. We'll bless it. Oh, praise God. I'm telling you, lively praise. It is not casually done. It is not accidentally done. It's not something you stumble into. It's something that is a determination in your heart that you will do. Somebody said, well, I'll praise Him when I feel like it. You'll never praise Him. Amen. Your flesh will make sure you never feel like it. The devil will make sure you never feel like it. And this world will make sure you never feel like it. My friend, I'm telling you, there must be a determination for lively praise. We've got to make up our mind. We've got to, sometimes, you got to listen to what I'm going to say. Sometimes you got to force yourself to do it. Amen. We will bless the Lord. It's a determination in lively praise. A determination for lively praise. Notice with me. Let me jump back to verse number 1. I want to show you a word here and a truth about the denunciation in lively praise. I hear my friend some do not have lively praise for the living God because they are not determined to do it. And some have forgotten a very important principle, and it's how this entire psalm begins. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us. There is a denunciation in lively praise whereby if we're truly going to lift God up to where He ought to be lifted up and praise Him as He ought to be praised, and there must be a putting down of ourselves. Brother Martin, there must be a denunciation of us and a great estimation of our God. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto Thy name give glory. Now, I ain't going to be mean tonight. I promise I ain't going to be mean, but I got to say this. The reason some do not give lively praise to the living God is because they live for their own name and they live for their own glory. And if you're not willing to die to your own name, and you're not willing to die to your own glory, if you're not willing to denounce, my friend, everything about your name and about your testimony and about the marriage that you somehow have esteemed to be so great in your own mind, then you'll live your life not giving lively praise to the living God. His psalmist knows it can't be about us. It ain't about the Calvary Baptist Tabernacle tonight. Amen. It ain't about us. We're not here tonight for us. No. Amen. We got one kind of shooting at us in recent months. Amen. Talking about we're a cult and we're cultic. And because we believe you ought to come to church and be a part of the church and promote the church and join the church and be faithful to the church, that makes us a cult. We're not a cult. Amen. This thing is not about us. It's about the Lord. And if it's about the Lord, then you'll be about what the Lord's about. By the way, He's about the local church. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you something tonight. It ain't about the name on the sign. It ain't about the pastor's name on the sign. There's nothing wrong with putting the pastor's name on the church sign. Hey, I don't suppose the Lord hadn't put no conviction in my heart against doing that. But if you took my name off the sign tonight, if we took my name off every piece of literature we've ever had or ever will have, that'd be fine. That wouldn't hurt my feelings tonight, because it's not unto us tonight. It's not unto us. It ain't about you. It ain't about how long you've been here. It ain't about what you do. It ain't about all the years of experience you have in being a Christian. And we've got to reach the place in our life and we realize it's not unto us, it's all to the name and the glory of God. Amen. Those who live for God's name and God's glory, you ain't got to pump them up, prime them up, preach Psalm 115 to them 6 months. Amen. Yeah, man, you ain't got to sing their favorite song their favorite way. Oh no, it don't take very much. Amen, to fire them up and get them in a place of lively praise, because they know it's not about them, it's about God. Amen. The denunciation in lively praise. How we doing tonight? I'm enjoying it. The determination for lively praise. Go back to verse number 18. Notice the duration to lively praise. Here's what the psalmist said, but we will bless the Lord from this time forth. In other words, maybe I ain't been praising the Lord lively up to now. Or maybe I have in the past praised Him more lively than where I have allowed myself to get to in this current state. But after singing this song, after getting my mind on God, after thinking about my God is, I can't help it anymore. I'm going to get revival. I'm going to get my fire back. I'm going to get my praise on. Amen. And from this time forward, right now in time, and then he jumps from the realm of time to the realm of eternity and said, and forevermore. This time in time, in this realm, in this sphere that we know is time and earth and space, we ought to praise God. Because I promise you, we are going to praise Him forevermore. Amen. I don't know how all that's going to happen. I'll tell you, I've shared this before. It's worth sharing again. I'll tell you what I highly have doubts about, is that you're going to go from this realm being casual about praise to the other side being on fire and, amen, kicking up gold dust down the street of gold. I highly doubt it's going to be that quick of a transition. Amen. Those that praise Him from this time I believe, my friend, when they get to eternity, there'll be no stranger to what it truly is to praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, that just ain't my personality. I don't like how loud all that praise is. Well, I tell you one place you better not wind up. You better not wind up in heaven then. He said, John said, I heard the voice of the saints of God as it were many waters. He said, it sounded like thunder. Amen. Why? Because it's going to be lively praise. Amen. Somebody said, I don't like how so-and-so gets all worked up and gets all emotional. I like how they do it better than some of y'all don't. Amen. I'll say that again. That didn't go over real good, did it? I like how some of them do it better than how some of y'all don't. If you don't like it on this side, you won't like it on the other side. Amen. This world gonna be, it's been said, many preachers have said, amen, this world, this life's gonna be the quietest you've ever known. Saved or lost, it's gonna be the quietest you've ever known. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise him from this time forth. Preacher, I can't praise him right now. Why? Psalm said we're going to praise him from this time forward. There's no addendums. There's no asterisks. There's no parentheses and exceptions. Amen, you get these little coupons in the mail. 50% off everything. Exclusions apply. Well, then that don't mean it's 50% off everything. Amen. And so long as you have exclusions that apply, I promise you, you'll always see the exclusions. You'll always find the reason why you can't praise the Lord from this tithe. It doesn't matter what shape your family's in. It doesn't matter the burdens we carry in our heart. I understand we get weighed down. I'm not belittling that. I understand there are things that weigh us down, and we get distracted sometimes. And there's times, let's just be honest, there's times that we've got our harps hung up on the willow trees. Amen. Let me say something to you tonight. Sooner or later, you're going to have to make up your mind whether things change or not. From this time forth, I'm going to bless the Lord. There is a matter of duration that is involved in lively praise. Let me give you number four and I'm done. Notice the declaration of lively praise. Notice how this psalm ends. There's something very, very important. And it would seem to be maybe not that significant, but I believe it is. Notice how this psalm ends. Praise the Lord. That, and I've done told you that, that's the Hebrew word Hallel, where we derive that universal word means the same in every language. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! The declaration is simply this, praise the Lord. Now, what I want to draw your attention to is thus far in these Hallel Psalms, beginning in Psalm 113. Amen. It began, verse number 1 of Psalm 113. Praise. Now here it is. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. It ends, Brother Larry, it ends. Brother A.L., it ends. Psalm 113 ends. Praise ye the Lord. It's a call, and there's nothing wrong with that. Praise ye the Lord. But now, from Psalm 115, and you'll see it in Psalm 116, you'll see it in Psalm 117, you'll see it in Psalm 118. There may still be some praise ye the Lord. And now all of a sudden it's just praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, what does a lively praise look like? What does lively praise sound like? Are y'all ready for this? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Glory, I'm using Psalm 115. Glory to his name. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, I could never act like that. Why? Are you dead? Don't you have life? According to this psalm, if you have spiritual life, that spiritual life has a hallelujah in there somewhere. Man, you got to smother it to keep it on the inside. You got to cross up the Holy Ghost to keep it on the inside. Amen. I'm talking about it is to be declared. It ain't something you keep on the inside. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. Glory to his name. Glory give to him. Hallelujah. I ain't gonna act like that. Oh, you done proved that. You done proved that for a long time. Amen. I ain't trying to be a jerk. But Jeremy, there's something. I know it ain't every service. I understand it ain't every. Maybe it ought to be every service. Maybe I'm giving us an out. Amen. But you think all these services we have where God's moving, you couldn't sit there like a wooden Indian, unblessed, every time. Lively praise is a declaration. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to his name. We will, what do? Bless the Lord. Five times, verse 12. You look at it when you get home. I'll preach it on Sunday night. Five times. Beginning in verse 12, he talks about how much God has, will, and is blessing you. You wouldn't want to live one day without the blessing of God in your life. Do you know how big of an ingrate we got to turn into to say, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, and never say, Lord, if you never bless me again, let me bless you one more time. Amen. That's right. That's right. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Pastor, for preaching to us. As this psalm unfolds, it reveals the character of God. Our God is. What is our God? I'm just going to mention it tonight. I ain't going to preach it, Brother Tim. I'll do it on Sunday night. You got to come back. What is our God? What is unfolded that has this psalmist, to the place he can't help but get excited and lively in praising God? Tell you what it is. He got to thinking about what his God is. Our God is a merciful God, verse 1. Our God is a truthful God, verse 1. Our God is the rightful God, verse 2 through 8. Woo, hallelujah. Our God's the powerful God, verse 3 and in verse 16. Don't nobody tell him what to do. He does what he pleases. He's the helpful God, verse 9 through 11. He's the mindful God, verse number 12. Hallelujah. He's the graceful God. Verse 12 through 15. Lively praise for the living God. The more you learn about the character of God, the more lively your praise ought to become. Doctrine, listen to what I'm going to say. Doctrine and theology is not given to you to make you drab. Amen. And boring. Amen. And dead. Right. It's supposed to make you more alive. I know all about God. I know all about walking with God. Really? If that's so, you ought to be running laps. We ought to have to strap you down and Velcro your mouth shut. And I've met some I wanted to do that with. Amen. I'm not talking about just running around yapping. Amen. Yappers. Amen. Velcro that old thing. Muzzle it. But if you really get a hold of doctrine and theology, it ought to do something to your heart that stirs you to say, He's my God. He ain't somebody else's God. He ain't just the preacher's God. He ain't just daddy's God and mama's God. He's my God. He's the living God. And He is everything Psalm 115 says He is. And for that and that alone, as I know Him and come to know Him as He is, I will give Him lively praise for being my living God. Heavenly Father, we love You tonight.